Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, we'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we commanded you. Let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us. Lord, this property was busy and active this morning with Sunday school and the buses arriving and now children's churches and the nurseries and this service here. Lord, just a great beehive of activity for you. Lord, things slow down and stop as the preaching of the Word of God takes place so we could hear your Word preached your way through your man. Father, please fill us with your powers. We listen to our preacher. Fill him with your powers. He preaches, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Earlier, I said to you, if you came to church with the intent of receiving something from the Lord, I think that'll happen this morning. And because of that, I want us to be very, very careful that we are considerate of the other people here in church this morning, because many came to receive. So let's do this. You should only walk out of the service now if it is an emergency. Indeed, make sure those cell phones are turned off, and let's not disturb those that need to concentrate and get the truth that God has for us today. Earlier, you read together with Brother Bush from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, a verse that I want to pull out of that passage. Says this, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. God here is speaking of the fact that God is faithful. And God, when it says, will establish, that's the word establish. It's talking about help you to be rooted, help you to have a firm foundation, and then he will keep you. In other words, God is dependable. But those words there where it says the Lord is faithful, the Lord is faithful, those words are going to motivate and move the sermon along this morning. We live in a very insecure world. We live in an insecure world because we are surrounded by insecure people. Let me ask you a personal question. Do you provide spiritual security for anyone? There's someone that is a better Christian because of you. Are the people around you more faithful to God because of you? Are they better Christians because of you? Are they in the world less because of you? Are they into God more because of you? Are they faithful to God and to their church more because of you? I fail at this, but one of my goals would be that people could look at me, people could watch my life, and that they were more secure in their spirituality because of my example. I would like to think that somehow, in some little way, somebody gets some security by my presence. I fail at it, but I don't want to fail at it. But are people more secure because of you? You know, there's some that create insecurity in the church. There's some that create insecurity around those with whom they work and those with whom they influence. I don't think God intended it on our testimonies and our behavior to produce insecurity among God's people. I think our presence should provide security among God's people. You know something? It's hard to find people on whom you can depend. Now, let me say, I have not lost my faith in mankind. And I'm not talking about the same faith that I have in God, but I'm not giving up on mankind. We can't give up on the fact that God has allowed you and I a place in the plan of God, and we are to be encouraging one another, and we are to live, the Bible teaches, as examples to one another. There are some people that they just don't trust any human beings, and maybe they think they're hyper-spiritual by doing that, but you're full of prunes. You know, there is a way you're to trust your God ultimately, but there is to be a trust among human beings, and we're to live in such a way that we are trustworthy. None of us will be ever will be as good as God or as dependable as God, but we ought to be like God, and if you're going to become like those with whom you spend your time, which means if you spend time with a trustworthy God, you're going to become as trustworthy as a human can be. And we've got to, you know, look, folks, if we give up on the human race, we're all going to kill each other. We're all going to, you know, the human race is going to self-destruct because of a lack of integrity among people. Indeed, God is the ultimate. Indeed, God can be trusted. And indeed, God is faithful. But man is supposed to be trustworthy. And man is supposed to be faithful. And man is supposed to be dependable. I've not lost my faith in mankind, and I don't want you to think that at all today. And you know, the truth be known, we should all be attempting to be spiritually dependable. You know, children should be able to depend on their parents spiritually. You are a role model. Now, I know you'd like to find someone else to take care of that for you. But you're a role model to your kids, and your kids ought to be able to spiritually depend on you as a mom or as a dad. Husbands are to be able to depend on their wives. And wives are to be able to depend on their husbands. And again, if you want to get hyper-spiritual and say, well, no, we're just to depend on God, I hate to tell you, mankind is given the assignment to learn to get along with each other and to help each other and to serve each other and to depend on each other. It's written all the way through the Bible. Mankind is not left out of God's plan for trustworthiness and dependability. Leaders ought to be able to depend on their followers, and followers ought to be able to depend on their leaders. Parents should be able to depend on their children, just like children ought to be able to depend on their parents. Bosses should be able to depend on their employees. And employees ought to be able to depend on their bosses. But it's sad but true that due to the sinful nature of man and the deterioration of the character of the people in our country, that there are very few dependable people today. Where is that dependability of the last generation? Where's that character of those that founded this great country and kept her free and kept her what she ought to be for all those many years? You ask any employer today and they'll tell you, it's hard to find good employees anymore. You ask any woman looking for a good husband, few and far between. Or a man looking for the right kind of wife, few and far between. What's happened? Well, none of us are as faithful and dependable as what we should be. But let me tell you something. Thank God, in the midst of an unfaithful people, the Lord is still faithful. The Lord is still very, very dependable. You can depend on God. I began to think my way through the Bible and all the people who were disappointed by the lack of loyalty or the lack of someone being dependable. I see throughout the Bible a lot of people that I'm sure were very, very disappointed about the fact that it was hard to find dependable people. But I'll tell you this, nobody's ever found God undependable. Nobody's ever found God unfaithful. Nobody's ever found God disloyal.
Right.
To him, is there disloyalty? Indeed. But never him toward us.
Right.
I enjoy defending the faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness is something that you could talk about and you don't have to worry about getting going overboard. God's faithful. God's dependable. Our God is loyal. He's loyal to His Word. He's loyal to His creation. He is loyal to His people. I got to thinking, though, and, you know, let me just take you on a little journey through the Bible, and I'll show you some people that suffered the unfaithfulness of people. For instance, if we go all the way back to the beginning where we find the story of Cain and his brother Abel, there was a tremendous unfaithfulness that took place between Cain and his own brother named Abel. One verse from Genesis chapter 4, verse number 8, it says, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." Cain killed his brother. We go all the way back to where the first brother-brother relationship was formed, and we find that a brother was unfaithful to a brother. We're talking about siblings. Here's what had happened. Both had been taught how to properly give a sacrifice to the Lord. They had been told by mom and dad, and they had been told what they were to do. They had both been told that they were to give a sacrifice of an animal, and it would be a blood sacrifice picturing the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the blood that He would shed on the cross of Calvary. Cain had decided that he would give a sacrifice to God, and Abel, his brother, would do the same. Abel brought a sacrifice of his flocks. In other words, a blood sacrifice, just as he had been instructed. But Cain, his brother, decided he was going to do his own thing. So Abel's going to give the right sacrifice. Cain's going to give the wrong sacrifice. Cain had the fruit of the ground, maybe some vegetables, I don't know what it was, but it was not a blood sacrifice. It was some sort of fruit, some sort of vegetable. And when Cain goes to give his sacrifice, God is wroth with him. God's disappointed. God's upset with Cain and said, "Cain, you did wrong. You didn't do the sacrifice like you were told." Well, Abel had done right. And Cain gets angry with Abel. The Bible says they were talking in the field one day after the sacrifices. Cain gets mad at Abel, and he becomes the very first murderer. He kills his own brother. I'd say he was unfaithful to his brother. He was disloyal to his brother. Cain kills Abel. Hey, let me say to all of you, everybody here, every brother, every sister here, you ought to be dependable for your brothers and sisters spiritually. Brothers should not lead brothers away from God but toward God. And sisters should not lead sisters away from God but toward God. And brothers and sisters ought to be encouraging one another to serve God. Don't kill your brother. Don't kill your sister spiritually. Cain was unfaithful to Abel. But let me, if I could, I wish I would have been there. I would have gone to Abel and I would have said, Abel, your brother Cain was unfaithful to you. You're dying and he's been unfaithful to you. But I could have found a way to encourage him because I could have said, "Abel, but what about God?" And he would have said, "God's never been unfaithful to me." Let me say to you, God's never been unfaithful to you. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is dependable. And if your brother lets you down or your sister lets you down, God never lets you down. God has never let you down. God is faithful, you see. I've seen this cute little story. While leading a tour of kindergartner students through a hospital, a conversation happened between a little girl and the x-ray technician. He said, "Have you ever broken a bone?" he asked. "Yes," said the little girl. "Did it hurt?" he asked. No, said the little girl. Really? He said, well, which bone did you break? She said, my sister's. Now let me tell you something. It may be that your brother has let you down, or your sister has let you down. It may be that your brother has hurt you and your sister has hurt you, and I oppose that. Some of you that are the big brother and the big sister of the young people around this church, you big brothers and big sisters, you ought to be the most spiritual ones in your family. Your little brothers and your little sisters ought to be able to follow your spiritual example. You should not be helping them sneak around, break the rules, do wrong, betray mom and dad. You ought to be dependable. But to every little brother and sister where your big brother and sister, they're being unfaithful, God's not unfaithful. God's not unfaithful. God won't let you down. God won't lead you astray. I got to thinking about another story in the Bible, the story of Achan, a follower that was unfaithful to Joshua, the leader. The Bible says in Joshua 7:1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Achan was a follower of Joshua's. The children of Israel had gone to war in a city called Jericho. It was called the accursed city, and many of you have heard the story of the battle of Jericho. When this battle was underway, God had given specific instructions that if and when they won the battle, they were not to take any spoil from the city. In other words, usually when you win a battle, you could take all their gold and all their silver and take everything. You win and you get all the treasures of the defeated city. But God had said, that is an accursed city. Don't you take anything. You walk in, you battle, you win, you walk out, take nothing. And that was the instruction that Joshua, the leader, had given to everyone, including Achan, the follower. But Achan did not listen to Joshua. Achan chose that he would take some things that he was told not to take. He took it. He didn't tell anybody. He hid it. The Bible says that there came a curse over the whole army because of the disobedience of that one follower. They went to the next battle. People that should have never been killed were killed. Oh my, it was a terrible, terrible thing. And they realized right away, somebody here has lost the blessing of God on all of us. Why? Because a follower let down the leader. And God's blessing is removed on the whole batch of them. Wow. You say, Brother Owens, I'm a leader and I've had followers disappoint me. I understand that. But if I were there and I had a chance to talk to Joshua for just a second, who was the leader, I would say, hey, Joshua, it's a bad day for you, huh? Achan, he betrayed you, and Achan let you down, and Achan did that which you warned him against, and now you have some of your soldiers and the people that you love. They have died uselessly because of Achan. Achan let you down, didn't he? And Joshua would say, yes, he did. And there are people that are hurt because of it and people that are suffering because of it. But then I would say, but hey, Joshua, did God let you down? And Joshua would say, God's never let me down. God's never let me down. And it may be that someone that is a follower will let down someone that's a leader. But I've got some very good news for you. God is faithful. God is faithful, Abel, when your brother betrayed you. God is faithful, Joshua, when one of your followers betrayed you. There's a story of Lot. A man that was a dad, but had become unfaithful. He was unfaithful to his kids. The Bible says in Genesis 19, verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Here's what happened. They were living in the wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot and his family and his sons, his daughters, his sons-in-law, all the kids were there. And God comes along and said, I've had it with this city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, the wrath of God will be upon this city. And God said, Lot, you need to get you and your family out of Dodge. Because it's not going to be good. Fire and brimstone will rain from the sky upon that city. So Lot goes to his family. You got to understand something. Lot had not been living up to the spiritual guidelines that he knew he was to live up to. Lot was playing religion to a degree. Lot was living in that wicked city. Lot was letting things go on in his family. Lot was letting things go on in his own personal life. And he knew he was not right with God. He knew he was not the right spiritual leader. He knew he was not spiritually dependable. He knew he was not faithful to God. Now Lot hears from God, and God said, Lot, you better get your family out of town. The wrath of God is going to fall on this place. Lot calls the family together and says, look, we got to get right with God and get out of town. And his kids said, God, since when are you concerned about God? Come on, Dad. You're not real. We know it. When you get religion. And Lot said, listen, I've heard from God, and I know what's right. We've got to get out of town. You mock, Daddy. You mock. We know you're not committed to God. We know church is a game to you. The Bible says these kids, they said, he's like, this is mockery. You come to us and now you want to be real. You know something? Lot of dad was undependable, unfaithful, and disloyal to those kids spiritually. Now I'm sure as the whole thing began to unfold and the fire did come from the sky, as his family was in disarray and a whole mess over this whole incident, if you went to the kids, I could say to Lot's sons and daughters, I could say, I feel like maybe you feel let down. And they say, yeah, we feel let down. Yeah, we feel let down. I mean, our dad could have warned us a long time ago. Our dad could have lived right a long time ago. Our dad could have wanted us to be spiritual a long time ago. Now look at the mess. The city's on fire. Look what's happening here. Those children were disappointed in you children. Mom and dad are not everything that they're supposed to be. Let me give you some good news. Your heavenly Father is always dependable. Your heavenly Father is always real. Your heavenly Father is a real God, and you can depend on him. He is spiritually consistent. He is anchored. My God is a rock. Oh, let me warn you, parents. Some of you are as one that mocks. Begin to finally see your child's life is going to be destroyed because of their behavior, and you decide to have a little parental revival. Can I tell you, you're better off just keeping the revival going all the time. Yes, sure. Some kids won't listen to you because they've seen the hypocrisy in the life. Oh, but to every child, every son, and every daughter here, let me say to you, God's faithful. God's faithful. Hey, listen, Cain, Abel, when a brother lets a brother down, hey, it may happen, but God won't let you down, brother. God won't let you down, sister. Hey, when the follower lets the leader down, Joshua, how do you feel about it? I'm hurt. But Joshua, be reminded, leader, God is faithful. When Lot and dad lets the kids down, hey, you say it hurts. Indeed it does. And there are children that say, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. I'm hurt. I'm confused. I can't figure it out. Dad says amen in church and he lives like the devil at home and the kids are confused and they can't figure it out. Hey kids, I might not be able to clean up all the confusion, but let me shine a bright light on a very great truth today. God is real. God is faithful. Absalom, a son, was unfaithful to his father, David. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 15:13, and there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. Absalom was the son. He was the third son of David. Absalom was a very handsome, good-looking man, much like myself. But Absalom was a young man, and David was his daddy. Absalom knew there was some chance that he one day would take over the throne, David being the king. And Absalom rebelled against his daddy. It went to his head. Absalom actually begins to lead a rebellion against his own father. He begins to gather people together. He ends up splitting the unity in his father's kingdom. Why? He wanted his father's throne. It was to the point where David finds himself at odds with his own son. David's own flesh and blood. Hey, dads and their children are to get along, and there's supposed to be a unique connection there. But Absalom was so greedy and so jealous of his own dad. He gathers people together, he becomes disloyal. He uses his good looks. He uses his winsome personality. He uses his sales techniques. He begins to draw people toward him. They actually get an army together. They run David out of town, and David doesn't want to fight his own son. There's battles later on. Absalom is put to death. David weeps. Oh, what a tragedy that parents and children would not get along any better than that. Oh, what a tragedy. But here is a son who has been disloyal to a parent. Let me say to every parent in here, I hope to shout that your kids don't break your hearts. I hope they don't dash to pieces the things that you've taught them. There are some fine parents in here. No perfect parents, but some fine, sincere, godly parents. There are some parents in here, not like Lot, not phonies, not fakes, not hyper, you know, the fake religious thing. You come to church and say amen, but you go home and live like the devil, and everybody really knows. I'm talking about some true blue parents. I'm talking about some parents that believe the Bible. I'm talking about some parents that are wanting to live at home what is being taught at church. I'm talking about some parents that are behind the preacher and behind the school and behind, hey, I'm talking about both. There's some of you, though, I hope to shout that your son and your daughter does not dash your heart on the stones of heartbreak and heartache in life. I hope your kids don't rebel against you and turn on you. I hope that they don't sneak off and do those things which you have taught them not to do. But parents, let me tell you something. If your kids are not loyal and faithful and dependable to the things that you've taught them, when your heart is broken, when you weep yourself, you cry yourself to sleep at night, and you weep yourself to the point where you don't think you can weep anymore because of the heartache, if you would like a little encouragement, let me just tell you this. Your kids might let you down, but God won't. God's faithful. God's dependable. God is a God that you can depend on. You see, when Joshua faced the heartbreak of a follower, he could always look to his God and know that God is faithful. When a brother would have to look at the heartache of a brother, thank God that Abel could look to God and say, God is faithful. When those children that were under the guidance of Lot and Dad, when they were let down by Dad and Dad was not real, thank God, if those kids would have wanted to, they could have looked up and said, look, my God is faithful. When a dad was betrayed by his own son, his own child, thank God that dad could look to God and say, my son may be trampling underfoot my heart. My son may be ignoring everything that I've taught them. My son is rebelling. My daughter is rebelling. But thank God, parents, our God is faithful. God won't let you down. There's a story of a man by the name of Aaron who was the assistant pastor virtually to Moses. The Bible says that Aaron became unfaithful to Moses. Exodus chapter 32 verse 21, the Bible says, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Here's the story. Moses had gone to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. While he was gone, the people began to waver and the people began to doubt. You say, where's that come from? Insecure people. People that won't serve God without all the hoopla and a big crowd helping them. It is rare that you find someone that will just stand for right in the midst of their family, in the midst of their church. The man of God was gone just long enough that everybody put their tail between their legs and said, well, we're giving in. We're going to give in to liberality. The Bible says while Moses was on Mount Sinai meeting with God, Moses was right with God. It was the people that were not right with God. Moses slipped away. He was gone just long enough. Aaron, the assistant pastor, the sidekick, was supposed to be managing the farm, you see.
Moses comes down from the mount with the Ten Commandments. And when he's getting close to town, he can hear it. It says it sounded like the sounds of war. You know what it was? It's their music. Sound familiar? The sounds of war. As he's walking into town, there's this wild music. The Bible says they were dancing. And we're not talking about dancing for joy now, like the Bible talks about. We're talking about there was lewd, wild dancing and lewd, wild music. They had taken all the gold in town, ground it up, and they had made themselves a false calf of gold to worship. Wait a minute. This is under the leadership of Moses. The people were behaving that way under the most powerful leader other than Jesus Christ mentioned in the Bible. Moses led millions and millions. You talk about a congregation to take care of. Over 3 million people in his church. Wow, they were going wild and crazy. When Moses gets into town, he didn't go to the people and say, "What are you doing?" First thing he did was went to Aaron. His assistant pastor said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? How did these people convince you to let this happen?" You know, in the ministry, I have the privilege of traveling. Can't tell you how many times pastors across the country would say to me, "I can't believe that my assistant pastor turned on me." Now, I don't have that problem here, and I thank God for it. Planning on never having that problem. We hire people that believe right and do right. One of the safeguards of what I do is I hire people that believe right. They believe the way I believe. I don't hire people that don't believe the way we believe. Just asking for trouble. But I'll tell you something. If I had gone to Moses that day, and so you know, there's quite an episode that goes along with this. They pull down this golden calf. They grind it into dust. They put it in the water. And Moses, I think he's a little ticked off. He said, "You're going to drink it." You think I'm mean if I raise my voice. When's the last time you drank a cup full of ground up gold? Oh, my. Oh, what an episode. And I go to Moses and I know that Moses' heart was broken because of that undependability, that unfaithfulness of his right-hand man. And I go to Moses and I say, "Are you hurt, Moses?" He said, "Yes." I trusted that man. I left everything in his hands while I was meeting with God. And here he's let the congregation get out of hand, and he's not done what I needed him to do. And Moses, hey, if you've never understood the relationship between a pastor and his men, they're like brothers. Moses cried himself to sleep that night because of Aaron's behavior. I say, "How you feel, Moses?" He said, "I'm devastated. I'm hurt. I feel cheated." "Moses, what about God?" And he would say, "But God is faithful." He said, "God's never let me down." He said, "God is dependable." There's a story of a man in the Bible by the name of Demas. Demas was a young man. Paul had been his mentor. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica." Here's the story. Paul had mentored a man by the name of Demas, and they had taken a preaching trip or maybe like a missionary trip together. They were going to spend time building churches, building people. And on this trip, Paul finds out that Demas has an attachment to the world. Now, Paul had helped to train Demas. He had invested in Demas. He had loved Demas. He had faith in Demas. But while they're out on this trip and Demas is traveling with Paul, the Bible says that Demas forsakes Paul. I don't know. They may wake up one morning and Demas's things are gone. There might have been a little note there, but I do know this. The Bible says, and if the Bible says it, you can believe it. God said that Demas hath forsaken Paul because of his love for this present world. In other words, Paul woke up that day when Demas packed his bags. Demas wasn't heading home to preach a revival at home. He is heading away from revival. He's heading back into the world. He was in love with the world and the things of the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, 1 John 2:15. Demas forsook Paul. Maybe it was that Demas got out there on the road and started traveling with Paul and found out that the ministry is not all about big paychecks. Demas might have thought that, well, when you get out there in the ministry, everybody's going to love you and you get to be a hero. And you get this real fine package of benefits. You get big cars. And then suddenly Demas found out it's not a big paycheck. There'll be people that won't like you and blame you for their own failures. You have to sacrifice, do without. And Demas said, I'm not interested in this. He packed up and he left. I went to the Apostle Paul and I said, Paul, what happened? I'm sure Paul cried that night and said, Demas is gone. I love that boy. I was his mentor. I said, Paul, but how do you feel about the ministry? And Paul said, God is faithful. I didn't get in this thing for Demas. I got in this thing for God. How do you feel, Abel? He said, I feel cheated and abused by my brother. He killed me, but my God is faithful. How do you feel, children of Lot, a phony dad? We're embarrassed. We're confused. But God is faithful. How do you feel, Moses, betrayed by the assistant pastor, Aaron? I'm hurt. But my God is faithful. See, when I was reading there in the book of 2 Thessalonians, and I seen the Bible say in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you? Look, if everybody around you starts falling apart spiritually, let me tell you who will hang in there for you. God. God's dependable. God's readable. God's able. God's capable. And I'll tell you something. We would have a whole lot more security among God's people if more of us depended on God and believed in God. What about God? You say, well, so-and-so disappointed me. Okay, so-and-so's another human being, but what about God? Did God let you down? Was God a fake down at the church that lived totally different at home? No way, baby. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not wishy-washy. God never puts his tail between his legs. God never turns back on you. There's a story in the Bible. It's about a gal by the name of Bathsheba. She was married to a man by the name of Uriah. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 4, it says, and David sent messengers and took her. She came in unto him, and he lay with her, for he was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. Here's the story. Bathsheba was married to Uriah. This was a married couple, and probably relatively a happy married couple. Uriah was a soldier underneath the captain named David. And just so you know, Uriah was a loyal soldier to David. David came home from battle one day while Uriah was busy serving David on the battlefield. Get it? David comes home from battle. Uriah stays on the battlefield serving loyally, faithfully, dependably. He's serving David. David comes home, sees Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, sunbathing on top of her house. David said, I want her. He said, go get her. He slept with her. Where was her husband serving David? Where was David? Sleeping with Uriah's wife. You say, Brother Owens, I've been hurt by my mate. Let me tell you something. Husbands, be loyal to your wife. Be loyal to your wife. She ought to be able to depend on you. You wives, be loyal to your husband. You say, but I got cheated. Well, God didn't cheat you. God didn't cheat you. You know what this sucker did? He kills Uriah. What'd Uriah do? He's just loyal. David couldn't handle it. David couldn't handle the guilt. The fact that he betrayed one of his men. He had to get him out of his mind. Hey, who will you kill because you can't stand that for which they stand? Who will you snuff out in the church spiritually because you just can't stand the fact they stand for what they stand for? That's why you get these people that rise up in the church and they attack. Get somebody. You just can't stand what they stand for. You don't like it. Makes you go to a new level of Christianity. You don't want to go to that level. So the best thing to do is let's knock out the guy at the top. Let's knock out some of those people that stand for that. But in this story, can you imagine how Uriah felt? He's busy. And I wish I could tell you the whole story. Uriah is one of my favorite people in the whole Bible. Uriah came home and David said, go sleep with your wife. Uriah said, how could I sleep with my wife right now? Our men are at battle. What a man. He said, everybody else is fighting. I don't deserve the liberty of being with my wife. Now, David was trying to get Uriah to sleep with Bathsheba because David feared that she was pregnant. Had to get daddy home to cover up his sin. He went to Uriah as he is dying on the battlefield, set up by disloyal David, and you said, Uriah, what happened? I'm sure he said, I was faithful, I was loyal, and I got killed by this guy. But Uriah, how do you feel about God? He said, I'm going to be with God in just a moment. My God's faithful. My God didn't let me down because God's faithful, you see. You say, I'm brokenhearted. My mate has betrayed me. My husband has betrayed me. My wife has betrayed me. Okay, if I could change it, I would, and I'll do all I can to keep it from happening. But let me tell you this. Hey, if your mate betrays you, stick with God. God won't betray you. The story of a gal by the name of Gomer. She was married to a man named Hosea. That's not Gomer Pyle, so you know. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 2, verse number 5, it says, for their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them. She hath conceived them and hath done shamefully. Here's the story. Hosea and Gomer were married. This woman betrays her husband. But she walks off and actually leaves her kids. This woman walks away from her children to go out and play the whore. That's what the Bible says. Don't you think those children felt betrayed? You mothers, don't betray your children spiritually. So, parents, so you understand something? Moms and dads are supposed to be the most spiritual people in the family. Not looking down on that which is spiritual, but being an example of that which is spiritual. Here this mom walks off and betrays her kids, and some of you kids, you feel spiritually betrayed by your mother. You feel betrayed. If we went to these children and said, what happened? They say, well, we don't know. Our mom just kind of went off the deep end. She walked off and left us. She left us. She walked away from us and left us. We feel hurt and we're confused. But what about God and those kids were able to say, but God is faithful. But God is faithful. You take the story of Judas, a church leader that was unfaithful to Jesus. Over what? A little bit of money. Judas had heard all the ministry plans. Judas was a part of the inner circle. But he was unfaithful, undependable, unpredictable. I'm sure the other staff was hurt. Can you imagine the other guys, the other disciples? Judas was a part of 12 men that were... had a privilege of a lifetime. And when Judas betrayed them, I'm sure some of them said, I can't believe this. I'm so hurt. I'm so disappointed that Judas did that. Well, if you ask further and you say, hey, those of you that stayed loyal, those of you that stayed faithful, we see that Judas betrayed, but how do you feel about God? They'd say, God's faithful. God saw us through it. Have you felt the pain of the disappointment, of the disloyalty of the human race? Have you seen the devil's attack on people, and whether intentional or non-intentional, they let you down, they disappointed you, they betrayed you, They were disloyal to you. They were unfaithful to you. They were undependable to you. Now you better be careful not to decide that you don't want anything with God because a human being lets you down. We are His representatives, but that's where it stops. He is God. And God is faithful. God is faithful. Say, I don't know if I can be loyal to God without my husband. Yes, you can. I don't know if I can be loyal to God without my wife. Yes, you can. I don't know if I can be loyal to God while my kids are away from God. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Well, I had this pastor in the past, and he hurt me, and he disappointed me, and I just don't know if I can be faithful without that pastor's faithfulness. Yes, you can. Say, my mom and my dad are not faithful to God. I don't know if I can do it without them. Yes, you can. You can be faithful to God because God is faithful. Look beyond man. And I've not given up on the human race, but I'm going to tell you all, folks, we live in such an insecure world. We're all just so connected to one another, we're afraid to realize there is a God and He is faithful. And if the one next to you, the one to your right or the one to your left lets you down, God won't let you down. Preachers are wishy-washy everywhere today, and I'll tell you why. This is what they do. I don't preach what I preach because you're sitting here. Your presence won't change what I preach. But here's what preachers do. They almost look across the crowd. They know who doesn't like them. They know what people don't like to hear. And they back off and they won't preach it. Why? They're afraid of you. We're so insecure. Preachers across the country looking at other preachers, seeing what they think. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Somebody needs to stand in the pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord, I don't care what you think. And I don't mean that rudely. Why are we so insecure? God is faithful. Have you felt the pain of friends that have betrayed you spiritually? Those that have opposed you and hurt you? I have. I felt the pain of the betrayal of friends, but God's never forsaken me. God is faithful. Let me testify. God's faithful. If your best friend is turning his back on you and God, hey, I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's God. You say, Brother Owens, there's a preacher that disappointed me. Well, believe me, I've known preachers by the thousands. And there have been a few that have betrayed the old-time religion. I had a friend of mine last year canceled a preaching engagement of mine because I stand for the King James Bible without reservation. It broke my heart. I still stand for the King James Bible without reservation. I don't make my decisions about what God is based on what man is not. Followers will forsake, but God will not. I've trained thousands. I mean, I taught at Bible college where thousands and thousands and thousands of students have sat under my teaching. I've watched some of those waste the training. And it's heartbreaking. I've watched them quit on God, but I've never watched God quit on them or me because God is faithful. I remember a family member that attacked me. I remember an uncle that just tore into me one day, thought I was just ridiculous for my stand for the Bible and wanting to live biblically and raise my family in the church. Say, what'd you do? I stand for the Bible and raise my family in the church anyway. Because God is faithful. I know people that were my teachers when I was coming up in school. Taught me things that they didn't even live themselves. I remember a teacher telling me to be loyal to my wife, and I found out that teacher ran off with one of his students years later. Okay, so here's what I did. I'll never believe in another teacher again. No. First of all, when it hurt the most, I said, well, I'll tell you what, God's faithful. And there are some people that are like God still, and they'll be faithful. Let me tell you the biggest problem I have. And listen to me carefully, and I'm almost finished. A couple of you that have slept, if you could wake up just a moment now,
maybe you could get at least one point of the sermon so you can talk about it with your husband or wife on the way home and feel spiritual. Take a breath. You're okay. Let me tell you my biggest disappointment. It's in me. Because I've let me down many times. Matter of fact, I've let me down enough that there's sometimes the devil comes to me and says, "What are you doing? You shouldn't be a preacher. You're not a good dad. You're not a good husband. You're not a good friend. You're not a good leader. Why don't you just pack it up and quit, Owens?" And then I say, "But God is faithful." And I knew all along that I wasn't the one that would determine what faithfulness is. But I serve the Lord God. And devil, you may criticize me and you might not like me, and you're right. I'm not as faithful as what I ought to be. But I'm not going to quit. Because He is faithful. And if you don't like Him using me, you take it up with Him, because I'm just a peon in the game. He's my king. I'm a pawn on the chessboard. He's my king. I let me down. I'm not as faithful what I'm supposed to be. Hey, folks, God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never hate you. He will never forget you. He will never lie to you. He will never die on you. He will never change on you. He will never not care for you. He will never not love you. He will never take His eyes off of you. He will never break His promises to you. He will never take His salvation away from you. Don't you quit on God because of people, because God's faithful. I think all of us are supposed to be dependable. But when the human race lets the human race down, I can assure you of something. God is faithful. God is faithful. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just so you know, I can't save you. Neither could your priest, your rabbi, or your counselor. I might need to tell you this. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't even depend on you for that. You say, "Well, how am I going to get saved?" God is faithful. He's the only one that qualifies to produce a Savior. And you're not the one that He produced to save you. And I'm not the one that He produced to save you. He produced His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the Savior of the world. He's the one that will save you. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, you need to get saved, not depending on yourself, your works, your good looks, or anything else. You need to stop and realize you're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. You don't qualify to save yourself. And you need to turn to the sinless Son of God and say, "I looked around. I can't find anybody that can save me but You, Jesus." And you ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sin, and be your Savior. He'll save you. You say, "Well, then what?" Once He saves you forever. He's real dependable. God is faithful.